Welcome to Night of the Living Geeks. If you geek out over it, we've got a podcast for it.
Enchanté.
Hi, hi, and welcome. I'm Classy.
And I'm Nick, the Orange Knight.
Oh, and thanks for joining us on Talkadoo, a variety talk show.
Hey, Talkadoo, talk a show.
Where we talk about anything and nothing at all and hopefully get you talking too.
I woke up about 15 minutes ago and we realized, oh, we don't have anything planned. So we came up with stuff right off the bat, which is good. And then I remembered as you were saying the intro, I'm like, oh, I got to say something. And then I looked up and I still have a Medieval Times crown from, at this point, it's like 10 years ago now. And I'm like, yes, name a color. You're a knight.
The Orange Knight.
Yeah, I don't even know if orange is one of the colors they have anymore. I remember, have you ever been to Medieval Times?
No, I haven't actually.
It is fun.
I've heard it's like really kitschy fun.
It is. When I was there, the food was actually good. Now, I've heard different things from other ones, and maybe the pirate one people were talking about, the food is not very good. But it was chicken, it was a good like potato soup, and then some other things, and then a Pepsi, which was not exactly a medieval drink, but I was fine with it. Oh, and the guy, was it the king? No, not the king. The king's advisor made sure to tell everyone to not vape or smoke, which was, again, very medieval. But otherwise, yeah, it was really good. It was fun.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah.
Our knight came in second place, and then he fought off. What was it? So the story at the time, I'll break it down. They've changed the storyline now. It's something about the queen is in charge, not the king. That's right, ladies. You too can be monarchs.
I mean,
it was basically Game of Thrones. And the people from the north were going to attack. And then the king had to have a tournament to figure out which one was going to be the official representative to fight off their champion and turn back the northern people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, ours was second place, so I don't know who won, but fuck him.
Well, he's not going to die to White Walkers, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, all of the knights, unbelievably hot people. You would not be surprised to learn.
Yeah, I would not.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
Well, that's cool. What have you been up to this week or couple of weeks?
Oh, man. Yeah, so we didn't record last week because I was busy on Sunday. I went to go see a show with our friend Peter, and oh my god, this entire fortnight has just been so busy. I've been going to shows in San Francisco for Sketchfest. On Saturday, I went to a Sharks hockey game with a bunch of our friends. And I'm just all socialed out. I had a show last night that I went to, got home around 6, thank God. Oh man, thank God I got home when I did, because it started pouring as I was going down the freeway. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do anything when it's like this. I am now home. I'm going to recover. I can't do laundry because it's raining so hard that if I were to take it out there, I would need a wash cycle.
Yeah, you're supposed to get a foot of rain.
I have always wondered about that. Like, how do they measure a foot of rain?
I don't know. They have it. Well, I do know, actually.
There's you do?
Yeah, there's like a rain gauge that you can get. It's like a cylindrical.
yeah, good enough.
Whatever it is. but it's basically like a giant tube, and the rain fills it up based on like a certain amount of time, I think, or whatever.
Okay, how big is the tube?
Pretty big. I would say it's like a paper towel roll.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like a Coke can, but yeah, okay, paper towel roll. That makes so much more sense, because when they say you got like 2 inches of rain, I'm like, okay, if I, depending on the size of tube I use, or like, is it measuring the reservoir or what? I don't know. Okay, that makes sense. And it's over a certain amount of time. So, all right.
Yeah, I don't know the time, though. I'm not that privy. So,
yeah.
But but maybe I will be after my Master Gardener's course.
Hell yeah. How are you taking, where are you taking it?
There's a local, like, extension, and so I'm taking it through Texas A&M offers, like, an extension program, for Master Gardeners in Texas. And so I'm taking it through, like, our local association through their extension program.
That's cool. So you saw the Texas A&M and thought, I like the A, screw the M.
No. But yeah.
Does it,
so.
Wait, does this make you an Aggie or are you a Longhorn? I forget which one. They're Longhorns?
A&M is Aggies. Yeah.
Okay.
Texas Longhorns.
Oh, yeah, UT, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I know college stuff.
Yeah, that's like a big thing out here, like Texas A&M versus UT, so.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's like what Stanford and Berkeley versus Berkeley would be if California wasn't such a huge state that Southern California is like, who are they? We got our own thing down here.
Yeah, or like, what is it, UCLA, USC?
Oh, yeah, that's probably, yeah, that's right. Our buddy Vim, he went to UCLA, that's why USC, right?
No, he went to USC, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
No wonder why he hates UCLA, almost as much as the people who attended UCLA hate UCLA.
Yeah. But yeah, so this week, so that Sunday that we were busy, I was also busy for once. I went and saw Mean Girls the musical.
And
Renee Rapp, oh my god.
Mm.
She was amazing. Like, she is so talented, and she was just so beautiful. It was funny because I went with some older ladies, and one of them was like, oh my gosh, like, she was so thick, like, I loved it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
Did you saw it in theater, or did you see like a musical, live musical version of it?
In theater, so the official musical that like Tina Fey redid.
Okay, cool. So not, sorry. Yeah, I realized I worded that weird. I meant to ask if you had seen the movie or you'd seen the play, but you saw the play. That's really cool.
No, I saw the movie.
That's really cool. That's equally as cool.
Yeah, that and like Pal World came out, the game. Oh my god, I have been so obsessed. Like, let me look at my Steam library and see how many hours I have on it, because it's got to be a lot already. Yeah, last 2 weeks, 138.3 hours.
Nice. That's more than a full-time job. That's great.
I'm obsessed. So.
Yeah, so I've read a couple things about it, but not much, just because, but it's basically Pokemon with guns?
Kind of. So it's kind of like Breath of the Wild meets Ark meets Pokemon.
Okay, yeah, that's a lot of buzzwords that hit your style of gaming.
Exactly. So, yeah, like, it's literally Classy's game. Like, my perfect game. Classy's World, yes.
Instead of
Pal World. Yeah. Exactly.
No, that's cool. Yeah. All right, maybe that is a little bit more my style, though, than less so the survival. Although, a survival game like Ark is good, and I like elements of that in my game. It's when it's the full game that I'm kind of on. However, the Pokemon part that you mentioned and the third ingredient that has already escaped my mind, those got me ringing.
Zelda.
Yes.
Breath of the Wild. Because I
like that. Yeah. I like an open world RPG. That's that's a lot of fun. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember now. I was like, there was something I was going to say about Renee Rapp, and I couldn't think of it. Oh, but then I remembered, and I remembered again. Renee Rapp was in a great show on HBO/Max that has a very unfortunate name. I say it's an unfortunate name because it makes it impossible to Google and impossible to talk about without sounding like a pervozoid. But it's called The Sex Lives of College Girls. And it was so funny. It's one of the funniest shows. The first season is one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. Second season was a little less funny, but whatever. It's fine. It gets a little bit more dramatic-y drama or whatever. But Renee Rapp essentially plays a mean girl who, when she gets into college and is like in a dorm with three other people, one of whom is Timothée Chalamet's sister, who is a whole human being in her own right, but I forget her name too. And she's like this mean girl, and she's like, oh, well, I don't want to be in this or whatever. I'm going to go into a dorm with my friends. And then in the first episode, she finds out that her friends specifically put her on the please do not have her in our dorm list. Yeah, it's really great. I loved it.
I think I watched like the first episode or something based on your recommendation. And then I like forgot to pick it back up.
Yeah, that happens now. There's way too much stuff. But yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you get a chance, go ahead and watch it. That's where I learned about a type of kitchen appliance, a whole brand, an Italian brand of like refrigerators and stuff that look so cool, except for the fact that they have the logo of the company on there. And would you like to hear the name of the company that unfortunately brandishes its name on all of its stuff?
Sure.
It's Smeg.
Oh my god, no.
Yeah, but you got a minute? Go look up Smeg refrigerators. They look so like they're a little 50s retro or whatever. And I'm normally kind of like, 50s stuff, whatever. But just the solid one tone, whatever. Oh, my God. It's great. They're expensive as hell, though. So fuck that.
Oh, I bet.
I'm not paying thousands of dollars for a mini fridge. They did like a Courvoisier, I think it was. They did a cross-branded promotional Courvoisier mini fridge. And I'll tell you what, looking at that thing, I was just... I have never been more tempted to spend $10,000 on something the size of a garbage can. But I resisted the urge.
Nice. This actually segues almost perfectly into my question.
Perfect. I thought it was going to segue into our draft, but nope, this is perfect.
Yeah. So my question is, if you could take one prop from any movie set, what would it be?
Shit. Okay. You know what's funny is I'm going to say something, and then as soon as we finish recording, I'm going to be like, oh no, I should have said this. Okay, so from a practical standpoint, yeah, that little Smeg mini fridge they had in The Sex Lives of College Girls, because that's just top of mind. But no, we got to do something cooler than that. So I'm going to say, you know what'd be really great is, do I want the Mogwai or do I want the Gremlin from Gremlins?
Oh,
that's a tough one. I think I want, just for uniqueness, yeah, I know what I want now. I want the Lady Gremlin from Gremlins 2, just because that's the that's the most Gremlin, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not the best Gremlin, but it's the most Gremlin.
Yes. Yeah. I get it. Like, it's the most kitschy, like, done up, like, out there Gremlin.
Yeah. That, and also, that's the one that people are going to look at and go, oh, Gremlins. Yeah. I think you get it. Like, I think... years and years and years ago, my friends and I went to Las Vegas, and the oft-mentioned Peter, one day we'll have him on here. He has no idea how to record a thing, but that's fine. The oft-mentioned Peter and I were walking through the Caesar Forum. That's like the Caesar Palace Mall. And we went into like a combination prop store and like pawn shop. And they had things like that. They had like, you could get Christopher Reeve Superman suit, things like that. I don't even remember the price of it. I bought like a single little bobblehead. I was like, yeah, I can't afford all of this. But yeah, they had like a Gremlin there, if my memory is serving me correctly. I was just like, oh, that's cool. Which is funny, because here's something I'll admit, and the internet at large will probably be angry at me. I've never seen Gremlins or Gremlins 2. For the longest time, I thought there was a Gremlins 3, but cultural osmosis has just, I'm like, oh yeah, Gremlins, the female gremlin. That's definitely the most gremlin-y of gremlins.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
what would you take?
I have multiple things that I would take probably, mm-hmm. but the number one I wrote down was the Mean Girls Burn Book. It's just so good, like, and it's so classic, like, to the movie, and it would be something that you could display, like, kind of unbeknownst to everyone else, but if they noticed it, you know, then it'd be like, oh my gosh, is this the real Burn Book, you know, kind of deal. So
yeah, like, you could just put it on your coffee table, and if some people noticed it, they would notice it, and otherwise they would just go, oh, a pink book on the coffee table.
Yeah, I think I would put it, like, on my bookshelf, so that people, like, would have even less chance of noticing it, but if they noticed it, it'd be a big deal.
They gotta work for that shit.
Yeah.
Did you ever, I know you said you have more, but we'll get into those, but this inspired me to ask, did you ever have, like, a burn book, or did you ever write in one?
No. Okay, I mean, like, that was, like, if I had beef with anyone, like, it maybe went in my journal, but, you know, a journal's different, so. Yeah.
That's fair. Because I remember, like, in the eighth grade, people telling me that I was in the burn book and me going, I don't know what that is and I don't really care. And, so I guess we had some, but I don't know. Somebody put me down for, like, worst dressed or something. Like, I don't know what that means. I don't care. What's the burn book? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Like, I know kids did that growing up, like, mean lists and stuff like that. But, yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, we don't need that type of negativity.
Definitely not.
What else?
Oh, I wasn't. I had to pick one. That's the point of the question.
Okay. Well, that's your practical one. What's your completely impractical one?
Inigo Montoya's sword.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So, but, like, what would I do with it? I would display it on the wall, I guess. But
you
would
get revenge. Duh.
Duh.
Oh my god, that's going in my burn book. Classy doesn't know what to do with a rapier. Revenge. Rowenge. Omerta.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. We have our draft today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, am I announcing it? Sorry. Look, we're rusty. I know how these things work.
We're super rusty, but there wasn't a good, like, way to segue that, I think. Like,
no, it's true. And also, I forgot that I was supposed to be the one to say, oh, yes, and our draft is. I thought I was just patiently waiting for you, like, ooh, what's she going to say? How's she going to do it? And then I realized, oh, shit, it's on me. Our draft today, it was the first thing that came to my mind when I woke up was a beverage draft. So we're going to be drafting our, you know, yeah, like, we're going to make our dream beverage draft. And usually I would write these down. My keyboard is now too clicky clacky loud, so I'm just going to remember, and hopefully we will, when we recap what we got, we're going to be good to go. Now, the baseline for this is specific beverages, but I would say, so, like, you know, let's say someone said, you wanted a beer. You couldn't just say beer and take all beers. You'd have to say a type of it. I will say, because there's so many different types of wine, if you wanted to go say red wine, you could do red wine. Or you could do white wine, or you could do port, or something like that. You don't have to be too specific, because who knows? Like, you know what I mean? You're going to be like, ooh, I'm going to take, like, Bordeaux wine. It's like, okay, well, that leaves the entire rest of France open. You should go first. Oh, wait, no, you're supposed to go first, because I'm the one who picked the thing. I know how we work.
Okay, so my first is pretty basic, but the reason I'm choosing it is because we all need it to live, and I'm choosing water.
Yeah, all right. It is a good, all right, look, no, you're right. That is a high, good first round number one draft pick. That is the Hakeem Olajuwon of our draft here. I give you that. That is correct. You're right. But also, like, I will drink water. I'll drink it straight out of the tap. But water is the most boring drink in the world. And not that I can't stand it, but it is just, I don't know. It does nothing for me. Other than, you know, like you said, keep me alive and everything.
Well, and you can doctor it up to, like, be in other beverages, right?
That's so true.
You can doctor up water. You can't really doctor up many other things.
Do you put anything in your water?
I haven't lately, but I like making, like, I like fruit in my water, like, if, you know, flavoring it, like lemons, mint. I like watermelon mint water.
Like good.
Different like mixings of fruit and mint on like during the summer is just so good because it makes it like, that much more refreshing.
A slice of lemon in water is really good. When I go to a public place and they have cucumber in their water, I always think that's a really big swing.
I hate cucumber.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I am not a cucumber fan. And, like, this is probably for another time, but the texture, the taste, just, like, everything about cucumber, I hate.
Totally fair. And, like, I like it. Don't get me wrong. But I know you're not the first person that I've heard say they just don't like the flavor. And when you put that in a big old pitcher of water, it's like you're really claiming to everyone, no, you must like this flavor of water. It's like, no. All right, my number one. I said you have the Hakeem Olajuwon. I think I have the Michael Jordan, famously drafted third in his year behind Hakeem Olajuwon and some other guy who went down in history as, really, you picked him before Michael Jordan? My pick is Coca-Cola. I love Coca-Cola. And because specificity is the soul of narrative, you can still take Diet Coke. It is a completely separate drink as far as I'm concerned. But man, do I love, on a hot day, you just pull a Coke out of the refrigerator. That's good stuff. I prefer to let it aerate. So you pour it into a glass instead of drinking it from a cup or whatever. A little bit flat for preference. I would prefer to let it sit just a moment to get some of them bubbles out. But man, I love a good Coke.
Nice.
Yeah.
And my second draft is Diet Coke.
Yay!
Because I just, I used to be a Diet Pepsi girl. So I went from Diet Coke to Diet Pepsi back to Diet Coke. Because I used to collect like Coca-Cola memorabilia. I've since gotten rid of all of it, but I know. But the reason I was like Diet Pepsi, it was because like my whole family, that's what they drank. Like Diet Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, Diet Pepsi. But like as I've gotten older and have a more discerning taste, I prefer
a more refined palate.
Yes. I prefer Diet Coke now. So
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll still drink Diet Pepsi, but I prefer Diet Coke.
Yeah. I was going to say, let's get into that because everyone has a big, strong opinion about Pepsi and Coke. And I will spoil my list, at least now. I can't spoil yours because I don't know what it is. But Pepsi, while I enjoy it, will be Sir not appearing on this list.
Yeah, it is Sir not appearing on my list, too.
Yeah, it's an honorable mention, mainly because I don't want to have two types of cola on my thing. That just seems like hubris, and I don't want to do that. But I like a Pepsi. A Pepsi is good. If somebody gives me a Pepsi, I will drink it happily, and I will sup from that can. But if you put a Coke and a Pepsi in front of me, I am almost always going to go grab the Coke. I'm not a hater. I know some people who hate the other one. That seems weird. And I definitely don't think they taste the same. Like have you ever heard someone say, oh, they taste the same to me. I can't taste the difference.
No.
Good. Oh, man. I heard someone say that. And I was just like, what? Do you just not have taste buds?
You're right. Like, you just can't taste.
Yeah, they're completely different. It's like, if you think that they are the same, then go get yourself checked for COVID right now. they taste different. All right, this is me getting super nerdy. Coke has the better flavor. Pepsi has the better texture. Pepsi feels smoother to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and so I could, it's like the saccharine of Pepsi, like even of Diet Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think that's what provides the smoothness almost of it. And like, I get what you're talking about, but it's almost like it's more syrupy. And that's why it tastes more smooth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'll go one further with my Coke preference and say that the best Coke out there is from straight from the spigot at almost any McDonald's.
Well, they have, so you know why?
Steel drums.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just found that out like last year from that like TikTok guy who spoils all the fast food secrets.
Yeah.
I don't know how up on TikTok you are.
Oh, I don't do TikTok at all, but go ahead and inform our audience what how the steel drums work.
It's not necessarily how they work, but just that McDonald's has like a thing with Coca-Cola, like a contract with Coca-Cola, that they, I'm pretty sure they're the only ones who are allowed to serve it out of the steel drums instead of the like box with the bags. And so it tastes infinitely better. Like, it's so good.
Absolutely. I don't know. So when I heard about it, I don't know if they're the only one allowed, but I do know for sure they're the only ones that pay for it. Cause it is a different, you know, it costs more or whatever, to ship it in old steel drums. And you gotta imagine, you know, 50, 60 years ago, everyone had that steel drum. Because, you know, we didn't really have cheap plastic stuff anymore, or yet at that point. But like, man, 50, 60 years ago, Coke just tasted like that all the time. Woo! Okay, so you did Diet Coke. Let's see, so my number three... Oh, no, my number two. I know how words work. My number two, I'm gonna take... Ooh, I'm gonna... Alright, we're doing a draft. We gotta make the best team, so I'm not gonna take the one that I like. Because I actually do not like coffee at... I wouldn't say at all. There's some coffees I can get behind. But I feel like if I don't take coffee, I'm just letting you win this draft. So I'm going to take coffee as my number two. I have no particular attachment to it. It runs right through me. It makes my tummy feel... every now and again, I have had some really good coffee. And it's just been enough to make me think... Oh, I think I do like this. In fact, honestly, after we finish recording, I'm probably going to brew myself my little Mr. Coffee that I only have for guests. I'm probably going to brew myself a little bit of like vanilla, whatever I got from Cost Plus World Market.
Nice. I like coffee too. Yeah.
What kind of coffee? All right. First of all, what kind of coffee do you like? And what kind of coffee would you recommend to me as someone who doesn't like too much bitter?
Vanilla iced coffee.
Okay. Iced, because I like a hot beverage, as we're about to find out when I do my next one. But iced coffee, is it... So I'll put it this way. Like, the difference between hot tea and iced tea is enormous to me. Is, like, a vanilla iced coffee, is it that good because you can taste all of the flavor? Or is it something else?
It's sweet. Cold goodness. Uh-huh. I like cold drinks for the most part.
Okay. No, that's good. Okay.
My next one's a hot beverage, so...
Oh! Uh-oh. Are you going to snipe me the way I sniped you? What's yours?
Possibly. Mine is hot cocoa.
Whew! Okay, you didn't snipe me, but that is a great pick.
Yeah, and specifically, Lando Lakes hot cocoa.
I didn't know they made a hot cocoa.
Uh-huh. And it is like the creamiest, best hot cocoa you've ever had in your life.
That's good. Is it like a served out of a packet, or how do you make that?
Yeah, they come in like giant packets. So they're like, but they're not like the normal hot cocoa packets, because normal hot cocoa packets are like little squares, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lando Lakes was like, nah, we have the better hot chocolate. We're going to make them rectangles. So they're stand-up rectangles, kind of like butter packets. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, so, but they have different flavors, too, and I recommend any of them. Like, they're so good. Like, especially mint, because I love mint hot cocoa. But their vanilla's really good. Their basic is really good. Like, Lando Lakes hot cocoa makes the best hot cocoa.
No, that's cool. No, can you just get that at a grocery store, or do you have to order it online?
You can. They have it at our local HEB. I don't know if every grocery store carries it, but yeah,
I feel like
grocery stores carry it.
Okay, I feel like if a grocery store sells Land O'Lakes butter, they're going to have Land O'Lakes hot cocoa.
Maybe.
I'll just have to take a look next time. So what I did around Christmas was I bought, gosh, I don't know how big that thing is, but it's just like a cylinder, sorry, the irritability to say cylindrical made me giggle. it's just like a can, like a coffee can size can of hot cocoa that I also got from Cost Plus World Market for my nephews when they came in, came visit me for Christmas. And they were like, oh no, we don't want that. We're okay. We don't like, we don't want that. We're good. But man, I've been making that when I, like, maybe I'll have some of that later today. But yeah, that's also really refreshing. Hot cocoa. Yeah, my only thing about hot cocoa is it feels more like a cold day beverage. It's one of those ones I don't think you can really, you know, like August 10th when it's 167 degrees outside. I don't think you're going to be drinking hot cocoa. But on the other hand, with my number three, yes, ha, I should have written it down. My number three, I will drink on a 167 degree day. I'll drink hot tea, specifically because we got to be a little bit more specific. I would say probably a black tea, you know, like a Darjeeling. I like Twinings a lot because that's what you can get around here. And it's from the United Kingdom. I love a good hot tea. I'll drink with like a regular old Lipton. Like my work, that's what they get. They get like these bulk Lipton black tea things from Costco. And it's like, that's good enough for me. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, see, I will argue that you can drink hot cocoa on a warm day in the evening or whatever, because I will, but also because everywhere in Texas has air conditioning, so
that's true.
You don't really, like, you can't go outside during the summer in Texas. Yeah, so
that's like Arizona where my mom is. Like you, everyone has their air conditioning on all the time, and then even like during the winter, practically, and then you go outside and you immediately melt. Until you get in your car, which is probably in your garage, turn on the air conditioning on that, let it run for a minute, and then you go into your driveway and melt again. But after a minute or two, it gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's really good about, actually, I'm going to save that because that'll be my number four now that I think about it. Sorry. Go ahead. What is your four?
Original A&W root beer directly from the store, like from the old school restaurant A&W root beer. Their A&W like doesn't taste as good nowadays, I feel like, but when it was like its own store and restaurant and not like mushed together with like KFC and all that kind of stuff. Oh my gosh, that root beer was so good. And I understand it's another like fizzy drink, but soda.
Oh, it's a great fizzy. But hey, because of the way we did this, you could name five sodas, no problem. And that is probably my number two soda. I love that. And I know exactly what you're talking about because we had one on South Winchester Boulevard that up at least through like 2002, 2003 was a dedicated A&W restaurant. And yeah, the root beer there was really good. Now, further up the street on North North Bascom, there is a combo KFC A&W, and it's fine. It's okay. It's still good. If you ask, they will serve you. They'll give you a cold mug. If you are eating there, then that's good, but it's not the same.
No, it's not. Like, and I don't know what changed, but it's not the same. And I don't know if it's maybe nostalgia, but yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. It's changed. And I, as a matter of fact, just as you knew the steel drums from Coca-Cola and McDonald's, I know the answer to this. And it's because they were purchased by Yum Brands, and Yum is very good, quote, question mark, about cheapening stuff for scalability. So all of the United States A&Ws are now, very cheap, and very profitable, but bleh. Now, that said, if you ever go to the mythical land of Canada, they still have the original A&Ws and are very, 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 very good. So yes, go to Canada. Go to Canada, they have very good A&W, because that's not owned by Yum Food Brands up over there. And also very good Dairy Queens. Dairy Queen here is actually still pretty good, in my opinion, personally. But it's apparently both of them. Yeah. DQ. Oh, you are in the land of the DQ, too.
Yeah. We have our own specific mm-hmm. tacos, even. We have the T-Brand tacos, and they are actually so good.
You have your own brand of Dairy Queen, as a matter of fact. So here you've got Dairy Queen. Yeah, you got Dairy Queen and Dairy Queen Brazier, I think is what it's called. Something like Brazier. I actually don't know how you pronounce that word. Brazier. I don't know. We played enough D&D. We should know how to do it, how to say it.
Brazier? I don't know.
Brazier? Maybe. Yeah, like that's what it looks like, but I don't know. Anyway.
It's like I don't say Takadu correctly, so...
You do too.
No.
You just didn't say talk about. Oh, that's fine. Whatever. That's just, we call that an American accent. Also, I like talk-a-da because we are kind of duh. You know what I mean? This is not, we are both.
But like talk-a-do also sounds kind of like a musical fest or something, you know, like
yeah,
something palooza. I don't know.
Yeah, Taco de Palooza. No, I like the duh because we are both very intelligent and intellectual people despite this. But this is our hour and a half to 2 hours a week where we can just be completely dumb with another human being. I mean, you and I are both dumb with other human beings all the time, but
hour
this way we can be dumb
to
together.
2 hours.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
It's like we took that. It's like 45 minutes to an hour.
We're currently at 38 minutes, and it took me about 10 minutes to get my shit together to actually start recording. So, you know, we're going to be there, but whatever. Also, we've had some marathon sessions before.
We have.
But so that we don't get into another marathon session, I will give you my fourth one now, which I had alluded to with your hot cocoa one. My number four is going to be quick. Like the syrup. Chocolate
Wait,
drink or whatever.
I haven't done my number four and I'm first.
Shit! I thought we did. We were talking about Dairy Queen
tea.
Because oh no, you did A&W root beer.
Oh,
that was your number
right,
four,
that's
wasn't
right,
it?
That's right, that's right. Okay.
And it's
right.
Very good. And TLDR, go to Canada. Go to British Columbia sometime. Spend way too much money in Vancouver. Eat their A&W. That's what you got to do when you do a food tour of Canada. You got to do A&W root beer, Tim Hortons, all these other places. Don't go to like all of their high class steak restaurants or anything. You got to go to their Subway. Anyway, my number four, quick, spelled with a Q. I really like it in the sense memory you triggered when you were talking about hot cocoa is that little powder at the bottom, that little sludge that doesn't get mixed in.
Yeah.
Like, with hot cocoa, it is an unfortunate circumstance that you get that, because then you just have this powder at the bottom and you don't want to drink that. But with quick, you have that little sludge at the bottom because it's a syrup, and it's just pure concentrated quick, and it tastes so good. It's a little jot at the bottom of an exclamation point to finish your beverage. Oh, I love quick. And here's the thing. I haven't had quick in easily 15 years. I was hanging out with our mutual friend Eben one day at my old apartment, and he was like, I bet you don't have quick. And I was like, Eben, I know how much you love quick, so I always keep some in here because I like to be prepared for my friends. And we shared a quick that day, and man, it was good. But here's the thing. That's a sense memory, and that's a nostalgia memory. I guarantee you if I poured myself a quick today, I'd be like, this is gross. I hate it. What is this? This is worse than SpaghettiOs.
So, funny story about that. I recently purchased Ovaltine for the kind of same reason, because I was like, I want to see if it still tastes like how I remember.
Did it come with a decoder ring?
No.
Okay.
And it mostly does. It mm-hmm. definitely isn't as malty as it used to be, I think. I don't know if malt flavoring is kind of like going out of style for people, because I've noticed like Ovaltine doesn't taste as malty. It's really hard to find a malt nowadays at a, like, you know, joint that serves milkshakes.
Yeah,
like,
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, like, malt is really going out of style. Or maybe it was never in style and I just thought it was something I enjoyed.
No, there was definitely a place for malt, because I remember, I mean, and I'm sure you remember as well, Whoppers.
Yes, I love Whoppers. Yeah. That's one of my favorite candies.
They're really good, and that's a malted milk ball. And, like, mm-hmm. I hear people talk about Whoppers all the time now, like, oh, it's gross, I don't like that flavor. I'm like, do people just not like malt?
Yeah, I guess. Like, I think that malt has gone out of style.
I tell you, just wait. It's going to come back around, because all the beer snobs who are talking about, oh, you need to have a triple, quadruple IPA, super hoppy Belgian, whatever. Like, once hops become, that was so 2023. People are going to, like, what's the other part of beer is malt. And right. People are going to be like, oh, now it's all about malty beverages. In fact, be the change you want to be in the world. Here's the thing. Be the change you want to be. Go on to, like, beer Reddits or whatever and just be like, ugh, hops are over. It's all about the malts now. And you know what's fun? And you will start. Go on to TikTok and do that. And you will start the revolution. You could kickstart this cycle, because beer has been around long enough. Like, malty beers and everything. Malty beers. Sorry. Hoppy beers have been de rigueur for so long that people are primed and ready for something new. And I think you can get that. But yeah, no, actually, you know what's funny? I don't know that I've ever had just, like, a malt. I don't know what, is a malt a type of grain?
I don't know. Yeah. That would be interesting, like, to find out. I'm sure it is, because Ovaltine does have fiber in it. So I imagine it is some type of grain, okay. Like ground down.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that, because, yeah, I just have no idea. But also, like, with Ovaltine, we were never an Ovaltine family. We were a Quick family, and then we got Ovaltine as a result of Christmas Story one time. I was just like, Mom, I want Ovaltine. She's like, all right, and we got it. And it was a flavor, I think that's what it was, is because it's malted, it was a flavor I wasn't ready for. Like, I thought it was going to taste like Quick, and it didn't, and so it set me off. I got to try it now with an adult palate.
Yeah, we were a both family, so yeah, we had Ovaltine and Quick. But to finish my funny story...
Oh, sure, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was talking to Drew... And I for some reason said, yeah, like, I'm going to eat Ovaltine. And it just kind of came out of my mouth. But, like, now you can, because that memory of yours reminded me of the little stuff at the bottom. So I was like, okay, you can eat Quick and you can eat Ovaltine.
Or, hey, you know what? It's a free world. You could just take a big old spoon and, take a big old spoon, stick it in that Ovaltine jar, slurp that down.
Oh no,
wouldn't be or I was thinking more of, like, powdered cocoa. You could do that, I would not recommend. Mm-mm. okay, so you did Ovaltine. That was your what number was it? Was
no
that
I didn't do Ovaltine. I was, I thought just, you did. No, I was adding on to yours. Sorry.
No, that's right. Otherwise, I would have shut up a little bit ago. I thought we were talking about your number. What pick are you on anyway? Five?
I'm on my fifth. Yeah.
Okay, I thought we were talking about your fifth one. That's why I was going on so much about Ovaltine and that. Oh, man. Oh, what a faux pas. What a fox paws.
No, I was just playing off yours. It's all good.
That's all good. Hey, that's fine. And we got to talk about the Pepsi to Quick's Coke. So what is then your actual number five?
And also, just as a side note, since we are just us and this is just our podcast... we can do whatever we want. So
this is true.
Yeah.
It's a free world. Fuck
and
you.
If no one listens, I don't care.
This is now, you're right. This is now a Rancid podcast. We're going to be talking only about the Bay Area's finest punk band, Rancid. That's all I got. Sorry, what's your number five? I was prepped. I know I should have said something that I could speak about for, like, 2 to 3 minutes on my own. Like, oh, I should have said Social Distortion. But Rancid just came to my mind first. Oh, well, sorry. Go on.
Okay. So my fifth I choose, and I have like two down. So I, like, just in case you took one, I had an extra down. I'm going to go with the more specific one because it's just so good. Martinelli's sparkling cider, but Ooh. Their blush version.
Oh, interesting. I don't think I've had the blush. What's that?
It's cherry and raspberry mixed into their sparkling apple cider.
Okay.
And it is so good. Like, so good.
Yeah, Martinelli's is like, I've only ever had just the regular old apple cider, but I like that so much. Like, that is my, back when I was living with my parents and we would have New Year's parties, you know, I mean, obviously I was a minor, so I couldn't drink. Plus, I didn't drink until I was 30 anyway. But man, I would crush an entire bottle of Martinelli's by myself. I loved that so much.
No, Martinelli's is non-alcoholic, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was a minor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying you didn't have it until you were 30.
Oh, no. I was saying I didn't drink until I was 30.
Oh my God, I remember that.
It's all good.
I remember your first time.
My first time was something other than just like an accidental sip of beer that was disgusting.
Well, yeah.
But Martinelli's, man. Yeah, no, that's what there would be me, my brother, Johnny and Mikey Huckins. I will dox them. No, also because their names are so, what's the word I'm looking for? So common that good luck doxing them. No, the four of us, we would all have a bottle of Martinelli's apple cider for ourselves. And we would just drink that until we passed out before midnight. Oh, it was such a great memory growing up.
Yeah, we always have it at like holidays, like as on the dinner table, like every holiday. There's always Martinelli's sparkling apple cider. Yeah. So, and I've kept that tradition alive. So.
No, that's good. It's a good tradition to have.
And that's how I found blush, because this last Thanksgiving, I went to get Martinelli's and I got a plain bottle, but then I saw this blush version and I was like, huh, that sounds really good. And so we tried it and it's so much better. Like, it's, oh my God, it's so good. And I mean, Martinelli's sparkling cider is already good, as you know, but this blush version is, it takes it over the top.
Yeah, I wish I liked cherries. I would give it a try. It's just that is my defect as a human being. You know how that min-maxing, you know what I mean? I got all my points into charisma, obviously, but I had to take a penalty to my cherry tasting abilities in order to afford that. Because, yeah, I know I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong in that I don't like cherries, but because that blush sounds really good, especially with the raspberry in it.
Mm-hmm. It is, but...
Raspberries are really underrated fruit, which we said when we drafted fruits, or did.
I don't know.
Overrated, underrated. I know we did overrated, underrated for fruit, and I'm pretty sure we talked about raspberries because why not? Anyway, my number five. We have had a very non-alcoholic draft so far, which is really good because, yeah, you don't really drink anymore at all, and I don't drink that much. I have a little bit from time to time with dinner or socially, but I'm going to take as my number five, the first alcoholic beverage of this, I'm going to take port wine because I love sweet wine. Oh, you don't like port?
I don't like port, and I don't like sweet wines anymore. Okay. Like, I did when I first started drinking wine, but I can't.
I learned to appreciate like a dry wine, like a red wine, that sort of thing. My company did a virtual wine tasting thing over Zoom one time, and they sent us this little package. And the lady who guided us through it was so kind, so lovely, not a wine snob at all. In fact, actively was dispelling wine snob myths and questions and things like that. And so she was the one that unlocked the ability to like red wines for me, because I used to drink them by themselves or whatever. I didn't realize, like, no, you're supposed to drink it while you're eating something. And then you take a bite of your big bowl of spaghetti or whatever. And that primes your mouth for the wine. And then the wine, in turn, primes your mouth for the spaghetti. And it makes both of them taste so good. So I love all of that now. I do like a good red wine. But my preference is for my... Oh, we could have done this for a thing, our taste preferences. My absolute number one preference is a salty. I love salty flavors. But then underneath that is sweet. And so, yeah, like sweet wines like Moscato's or ports, really good. My boss, my previous boss got fired, and he was awful. He was terrible. Yes, he was my boss when we were originally recording this. He was just a bad person in addition to being a bad boss. And when he got fired, I went to the BevMo across the street and bought a 20-year-old bottle of port wine. Sandman 20 Reserve. Whoo! That was good.
I bet. Anything with like 20 plus years on it, I feel like in the alcohol world, is good.
Yeah, yeah. 20 plus the taste of victory was real good too, of knowing that I vanquished this awful person. Good stuff.
It was your Inigo sword.
Yes, it was. It was my Omerta. So what was the one that, since I didn't snipe it, what was the other one on your list?
Either flavored or unflavored lemonade.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. What's it? Hot Dog on a Stick, aka Muscle Beach, at any mall. Their lemonade, really good.
Yeah, I love lemonade. Actually, I always call it French fry restaurant now, so...
McDonald's?
No, the burger restaurant. Why can't I think of it? No, like the actual sit-down restaurant, the...
Red Robin?
Red Robin. Oh yeah. My God, I couldn't think of it. Well, because, my friends back in California who I used to live with, I'm not going to dox them.
I will. No, but, it's fine.
Chrissy's son, Owen, was on the spectrum, or he is on the spectrum, pretty severely so. So he can only speak in like very short phrases and only say very few things. But he loves Red Robin and he calls it French fry restaurant because he just loves their bottomless fries there. So
it's a great name.
I always call it French fry restaurant now. But they have really good strawberry lemonade, was my whole point.
So. Yeah, no, strawberry lemonade rules, as does, let's see, they had limeade at, I'm trying to remember the last
time. I love limeades.
Yeah.
Like cherry limeade? Oh.
Yeah. Like, it's been, okay, there were three flavors of lemonade at Hot Dog on a Stick / Muscle Beach. There was lemonade, obviously, and then there was limeade, and I can't remember the other one. It was red, but I don't think it was cherry. Ooh, was it strawberry? Love that stuff. You can get the same thing at Sonic. Sonic is near you, right?
Yeah. Sonic. Oh my gosh, I love their limeades, and I always get the like either blackberry or they have a raspberry or they have a cranberry that's really good. Yeah, they have some really good, crazy flavors. So
that's what I love about a Sonic and then other restaurants in general when they have a wide variety like that. Like, I don't really like the trend in modern restaurants to pare down the menu where it's like, oh, we're only going to do like 10 things. We're going to do 10 things really well. I want to go to like a diner, like the kind that they have in LA, where the menu is the size of a Cheesecake Factory. I don't know why I didn't just say I want to go to a Cheesecake Factory, but whatever. I want to go to one of that where it's like, oh yeah, you want pasta? Cause like what a meal is, like you get right down into it. Pasta. There's different types of pasta, obviously, but ultimately it's like, okay, you got three different types of noodle or whatever, and then you got a whole bunch of different sauces, and it's like, these are just ingredients. You can mix and match. It's like when Taco Bell says, we don't do the double-decker taco anymore. And it's like, you have all the ingredients there. Can you just make me a double-decker taco? Just take like a burrito tortilla, put some beans on it, put that on the hard shell. That's a double-decker taco. You're telling me you don't know how to do that anymore. That's my thing. And so, like, Sonic, they have all of those. Like, oh, somebody someday is going to come by and they're going to want a blackberry, and we're going to have blackberry for them. I love that preparation.
Yeah. 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 Well, the reason I like to think the reason is because of the John Taffers and the Gordon Ramsays of the world. What? I love Taffer. What?
I do. Well, okay, John Taffer I have an issue with. I'll tell you.
Bar Rescue?
Yeah, Bar Rescue is a great show, but And I realize it's doing a great job because it's taking a bar that's going to fail if you do nothing else, right? And it's rescuing it, literally, thus the name. And it's always kind of fun when you say, like, yeah, this is my friend, Alexander Siddiq. I was like, yeah, sure, that's a person. He played Dr. Julian Bashir in Deep Space Nine, and he was on an episode of Bar Rescue. Anyway, this is my friend, Alexander Siddiq, and he's going to just go into there. It's like, you've never met Alexander Siddiq in your life. You're doing this because USA just did a movie, and it's a cross-promotion. That's fine. But anyway, they will take a really cool bar like this. It's a pirate-themed bar. And then they're like, oh, yeah, well, now it's called Chuck's. And we put all this Texas stuff on the wall and license plates. And you can get these things. I'm just like, I miss the pirate bar.
That episode in particular, though, it was failing because of the employees.
Yeah.
were just too piratey. They were too into it. I mean, it was literally like every day was a renaissance, and they didn't they didn't know how to actually serve customers.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's my thing. Is like, I just don't like the trend towards homogeneity. Like, one thing,
but that's what's going to save their restaurant, unfortunately, because if you appeal to the masses, you make more money.
Well, that's the thing, though, is you know what would have, a good solution, a good Solomon solution would have been, look, you're going to be a normal bar 5 days out of the week. You're going to be closed one day out of the week, I don't know, whatever. And then everyone's going to know, yeah, you do a weekly pirate night or something like that, you know what I mean? And also you're going to tell your people, pull it back, it's too much every day. Go a little less piratey, be a little less Johnny Depp with it all. It just scale it back a little bit, and then that would have been fine. I mean, they would have had to fight the notoriety, right? Like, getting people back in. So maybe that's why they had to do it. But still, like, I don't know. I like unique things, and it is unfortunate that things have to sacrifice that uniqueness to survive.
Yeah. And I mean, I get it. But yeah, that was too niche, and the owner and the people were overboard with it.
Yeah. Before we end, I'll tell you a restaurant that I wish I had ever gotten a chance to go to because it sounded so cool. I won't remember the name of it. It was called like Mars 2040 or something like that. I forget the exact name of it. And you may know of it because they did a parody of it in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Titus worked there for a little while. The theme of the restaurant was you would go into an airlock. That was what, like, their little holding room. And then when your table was ready, they would let you in, and you were like in a colony on the moon or on Mars or whatever. And all the food was like Martian themed, and all of the people were dressed in like Mission Mars gear and things like that. And it was just such a great themed restaurant. But you know what's really expensive? Times Square. So yeah, they should not have located there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Well, this too shall pass, as this episode shall pass. Please go on.
Well, good way to segue. I'm Classy.
And I'm Nick. I forget what color I said I was, but I am a Knigget.
Orange.
Orange Knigget.
Signing off and hoping you have a good tomorrow, and take care of each other.
This has been a Night of the Living Geeks production. For more information and content, visit notlg.com.